Organize Me Radio, episode 67, Staying Organized as an Actor, Writer, and Producer. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and today's guest is an actor, writer, and disciple of Christ. Please welcome Vincent Alston. Welcome, Vince.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I do. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you too. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you're here. We actually met years ago. I think it's like around 2004 when we both were in A Raisin in the Sun for the John Beasley Theater in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see you. You were Walter Lee Younger. I was Beneatha. So we played brother and sister.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I feel like in my mind, sometimes I still think you're my brother. You know, right. It was like a few months, I feel like we worked on that. And in my mind, like if I see a picture of you, I'm like, oh, look, there's my brother.
I know, right? It's strange how that happens, but you develop those kind of bonds in, you know, in theater and film as well, though. But theater, you're spending all that time together, you know, usually like Wednesday through Sunday or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're doing it kind of live and in the moment, you know, and it's a little different every night. And you do kind of, you know, you kind of build up those bonds, which, you know, kind of sad to me because as I get older, not to get off topic, but you start to lose people, you know, that you, you know, John Beasley,
yeah,
lost. There was another guy by the name of Anthony Chisholm. I did some work with there. He's gone. Willis Burks III, who was another sort of Omaha theater guy who came in to do the play, and he's gone. And, you know, you just kind of lose people. It kind of brings you in touch with, you know, what's really, truly important.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we're out here chasing these dreams. And, you know, if that's what you're supposed to do with your life, it's admirable, it's noble, and it's what you should do. But in the meantime, I think we have to always be mindful of, you know, the people we get to play with and to work with, and, you know, and because they won't be around forever.
Yeah. I agree with that. Even though, of course, that was like my pretty much one and only kind of acting thing. I've had some little small things here and there. But I feel like when we were at the John Beasley Theater, we really like built a family, you know, like Miss Erlene, Cheryl, you know.
Right.
So it really felt like family. And I appreciate that environment that John Beasley created, you know,
right,
like his legacy, like that's something that I will always remember.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, same here. You know, it's it was a good place. You know, what was so special about it is having kind of cut my teeth in Omaha probably 30 years ago acting, the Beasley was pretty much the only place we could do us. You know what I mean? And as one writer put it, he was, you know, August Wilson, which we did a lot, was our Shakespeare, you know. He told the stories that resonated with us and the culture and community and that kind of thing. And really, the Beasley was the only place you could do that, you know. So it was special for that reason.
So you had an acting career before I met you, right? So you've been in the industry for a while. What made you decide to become an actor?
You know, that's an interesting thing because you would have thought growing up in Jersey, and I think one of the last places I lived there called Somerset, which is 40 miles outside of Manhattan, or 40-minute ride outside of Manhattan, you would have thought that if I was going to get the acting bug, I would have got it while I was on the East Coast in New York, and all that tri-state area. And strangely enough, I went to school and I started studying computer science in MIS. I had a minor in Black Studies. And then I went to work for the Corps of Engineers, and They required you at that time, if you were a student, you had to maintain a certain major while you worked there, because I was working in the IT help desk department. And then about 3 years into that, I went to work directly for a contractor who had come in, and I wasn't really under the auspices of the Corps engineers, even though I worked there. And that allowed me to, I wanted to change my major. I wasn't quite sure what. And I kind of took an acting class because it was an elective. You know what I mean? I could get credit. I could go in and play around, and that was it. I got the bug, as they say. So that was probably 90, mid-90s, maybe 95, to date myself. It was, but loved it from day one. And quite honestly, I'm pretty much a shy person, introverted, except that was the only place where I didn't feel that shyness was on stage. Like, it just felt like home, and still does. Like, I love that feeling.
So you've done theater and
Right.
you've done film.
Yeah.
You have a preference. How did you get into each of those? Which do you like more?
I think if I had my druthers, I would probably gravitate towards film more, the process of that. But on the other side, theater gives you a kind of energy and a live, visceral experience that is absent from film. Film you're looking at sort of after the fact. So it's kind of six in one. I like film for some reason, and then I like theater for that kind of one-on-one or ensemble visceral audience feedback kind of thing. But to answer your question, so the natural progression when you're going in, you're doing acting classes at a university, usually your first manifestation of that, or the first platform, is theater. Because they're doing auditions, they're getting acting students to actually get out there and do it. The film thing came about. I'd done a couple of commercials or so, but I wrote a film called For Love of Amy, and actually got it made, shot and made in Nebraska. I think we got a small distribution deal about, I want to say, around 2011 or so. And you can still find it like on Amazon or something like that. But that was kind of my initiation into that. And then when I was in Atlanta, it was mostly like TV drama stuff and crime reenactment and that kind of work. I did have a small part in Den of Thieves that they cut, which I was really disappointed, but that's, what are you gonna do? That's the game. But I got to work with was like a seat over from 50 Cent for like, however long that shoot lasted. I think I was there about a week, and 3 days we shot. He barely spoke. I think I got one of those one day, but that was it.
Got
Yeah, I got the head nod, I need a little grunt. But I met some people. I got to meet Martin Sheen, who did the West Wing, and Charlie Sheen's father. And I think while I was there, I want to say David Keith. I think Oprah was on set one day.
Cool.
I got to meet some interesting people along the way. Ted Land, who might be a little ahead of your time, he was the bartender in Love Boat, and he actually directed the film. And of course John Beasley and some other notable people. But it just depends. But again, if I had my way, I would do film primarily.
I love that. So when you, and it's cool, like all the people that you've come across, just being in this industry. How do you stay organized within the industry when it comes to auditions and things of that nature? What do you do? Is it easy to keep track of them? Do you have a certain system for keeping track of projects?
Well, technology has changed it a lot. So when I left Omaha and moved to Atlanta, probably 2016, I said, okay, I'm gonna take a full swing at that. There generally the industry is kind of divided into two sides. There's what they call theatrical, which usually represents like film and television. And then there's a commercial side, which is like i.e. commercials, that kind of thing, industrials, stuff like that. So when I was there, I had two agents. I had one for commercial and I had one for theatrical side. But technology changed it because for the commercial side of things, most of those auditions you had to do in person, and that was problematic for me because I had a day job. But on the television and film side, you usually have between 24 and 48 hours to do an audition. So it's a lot more flexible. Whereas on the commercial side, they say, hey, we need you in here like at 12 o'clock. On the television side, you can kind of get that audition in within that 24 hours or 48 hours and go down to a taping if you didn't have the equipment to self-tape and put your audition in, and then they'd send it in for you. And so most of the auditions I did were like that. And of course, now I have my own, camera that I use, and they allow you basically to use your phone now and a decent microphone and sound. And so this office that I'm sitting in now, if I have an audition, I'll just set up my camera and do it. They send me the sides and I just do it right from here. So it's much easier now. I just don't know if I really, wanna do the theater thing anymore because it's such a time investment. It's like, just hours of rehearsing, and then, when you're doing the run, it's a little taxing. But the writing thing is what I'm mainly focused on now because there's some content that I created that I'm trying to shop around, and we'll see what happens.
So I will say, I mean, you mentioned you don't really want to do theater anymore, but you are such a great theater actor. Like I'm just thinking back to when we did A Raisin in the Sun, and there was a scene between Walter and Mama where the money that Walter, asked for, from his mom was taken, by his friend. And I feel like the way you and Miss Erlene like kind of fed off of each other's energy was kind of unmatched, and I feel like that's kind of those are things that happen in the theater that don't happen on film. It just feels so authentic,
Well, thank you for that. I think they happen in film, but I think that, there's no many there's no way of knowing how many takes that might happen. Whereas in theater, because of the presence of the audience and because you're there live, it brings a different kind of energy. Like you feel, television, film can sometimes feel inauthentic, like when I made my film and there was a couple of kissing scenes because I was supposed to be engaged to this woman, and you're kissing someone and the camera's here and they're telling you to you move your neck here and they're trying to get the angles here and don't block the light here, and you know what I mean? Whereas in theater, you're in the moment, and there's just a different level of like authenticity to it. Because sometimes when I'm auditioning, it just feels so inauthentic to be talking into a camera, you know what I mean? And nobody's there, and you got somebody reading off camera, and you're doing the thing. It's not like theater where that person is right there. You don't have those distractions, and it just—it's this kind of a visceral, organic feel to it that, you know, certainly for me, unmatched kind of in film.
So you mentioned that you are you're a writer, and you mentioned you're writing more often than acting these days. What's your process like for writing, and how do you keep track of the things that you write, like the scripts that you write? And what kind of content are you writing? Are you doing like film? Are you writing for theater? Are you writing for commercials?
Not theater. Theater is its own animal in terms of playwright thing. For me, it's I've written a pilot that I'm trying to shop, and I'm on my fourth screenplay that I'm writing. So three of them are complete. One of them got made. In terms of organization, because I do freelance IT to kind of pay the bills and keep the lights on. So I kind of have the liberty to sort of write when I want to, you know what I mean? So I don't have to, although that presents some challenges because, you know, there's a certain amount of discipline you want to apply to a kind of writing schedule. But because I'm not doing any kind of spec work, which means someone hires you to write it, I can kind of write when I feel like it. You know what I mean? In terms of the process, generally, like I start with just a small idea. You know what I mean? And what often happens to me is that as I'm writing a particular character, it's strange. I know it sounds kind of mystical and magical and all of that, but they really do become real in your head, you know what I mean? And they really do start talking to you. And once that happens, the work, the piece will usually lead you into some kind of theme, some kind of all of these sort of abstract threads start to come together, you know, which is kind of the creative process in and of itself. You know, you start with something small and you kind of build on it. And so I don't have like any particular set thing that I do or any rules for that. I just begin kind of where I begin, you know, and then let it go from there. I will say this, that after the first piece I wrote, I generally find that I'll usually have the end well before I'm finished with the piece. But you know, that makes sense because God says he knows the end from the beginning. And Martin Luther King said once, the most important part of the speech is how you begin and how you end. And once he knows how he's going to end, that in and of itself will kind of anchor you along the way in terms of what you fill in between. You know what I mean? So I generally usually come up with the end pretty early in the process and then kind of work backwards from there, if that makes sense.
It does. That's so profound because I've never thought of it in that way, you know, like having the ending before you fill in, you know, everything in the middle. It's like, oh, that I guess that makes sense, right? Because, you know, the goal is to get to this ending. Well, how are you going to get to that ending? Okay. Now, what about for projects that you've done, like For the Love of Amy? What about talent and managing the talent? Or even casting, finding the talent. How do you handle that?
I'm gonna you're gonna traumatize me.
Oh,
That
I
was
try
a
to do
beast.
that.
Okay, because I was so green when I made that film, and I ended up writing it, doing a final edit, doing the credits, writing a couple of songs for it, laying in the music, color correcting, shopping it out. I wasn't supposed to produce that film, you know. Someone else was supposed to produce it. I had just written it. And along the way, it wasn't kind of coming together. And, you know, one of the things that's most important as a producer is getting money. You know what I mean? And whatever way you do that, whether you find an executive producer, which usually means they are a producer who primarily adds to the financial bottom line. But of course, with that comes, they want some creative liberties as well. But the money wasn't happening. And so through kind of a series of events, I met a guy who kind of wanted to be in the game, so to speak. And, you know, they gave me money for it. And so at that point, it was like, I probably need to just take the reins. And, you know, me and the guy who was going to produce had a conversation about that. And he was like, well, maybe you should just go on and produce it. And so that brought a whole series of challenges because I didn't know about the casting process, but I did. I had a group of people, some of whom worked with John. You know, John agreed to do a part in the film. I had a son in the film. So I cast a lot of people who, or a few people who were involved in the theater already. So that was that. But organizing everything was a bit of a nightmare because there's so many moving pieces. What I would say, though, is that the thing that I had to learn was to delegate and to find the people who could fill in those spots where maybe I was lacking or didn't have the time and energy or even the talent to do it. So I had someone who would do the casting and I could sit in. I had someone who would keep track of the money, you know, and sets are inherently like that. Like a movie set, there are departments for everything that are sort of, compartmentalized. And, you know, you have a guy who just plugs in stuff. Mm. You have a guy responsible for lighting. You have a guy responsible for what the camera sees, a DP. You have a director. Then you have an assistant director who's responsible for moving the schedule along and that kind of thing. So to answer your question, I just had to learn to delegate and then trust the people that were in those spots to kind of get it done. And then as producer, you're mainly kind of overseeing all of that stuff. You know, sometimes we shot 15, 16 hours or more.
Wow.
So your days are too long for you to have your hands into too much stuff, but you still got to oversee because that's your job. Because you're the one who took that money, you know. So they kind of hold you responsible for it.
I think that's a good point to make sure you delegate because that's a good way to not get overwhelmed with things in general. You know, especially when it comes to staying organized and things of that nature. Yeah. So. What advice would you give someone who is interested in being in the entertainment industry, whether it's theater or acting or writing or producing something? What advice would you give them in order for them to stay organized so that they can be a bit more successful with it?
Well, I think before I even get to the organizing per se, I think I would encourage them to try to create as much as you can, because that's generally, you know, that's generally where the opportunities are long term. You know, even accomplished actors, you might be working today and then you might not work again for years. Mm. It's just the nature of the industry. And so if you are, you know, sort of waiting on someone else to give you permission to do the thing that you love, you kind of put yourself in a bad spot. So if you can create, I think you increase the odds, if you will, of being able to work and to be able to sort of realize your passion, you know. So again, that's kind of what I'm doing now, just focusing on that content. You know, I'm waiting and trusting God for the opportunity to be able to say, here's my stuff, I'm ready.
Yeah.
know what I mean? And so that's the one thing I would say. In terms of organizing, like if you want to be in, if you want to start as an actor, I would say try to find you know, a livelihood, if you will, that affords you a certain amount of flexibility. Because if you're gonna do auditions and that kind of stuff, you know, you're gonna need that. And you're gonna, quite honestly, you're gonna want to survive. There's a tendency, not only just in acting, but in almost any field, particularly for a young person, to maybe fall in love with the ideas of doing something without necessarily having any experience or any interaction with that. Like I think school, for example, I think that we do it wrong. You know, I think that, you know, I think as early as maybe middle school, there should be some kind of mechanism for putting kids with professionals in the area of pursuit they want to go after. Like if you got an idea of being a lawyer, that kid should have access to a lawyer and to see what a lawyer does on a day-to-day basis, because they might find out that's not what they really want to do at all. But what happens, they fall in love with the idea of it, of being a doctor, or whatever the case may be, without ever having any experience in it. In 2 or 3 years in college, you change majors 8 times because you just don't know. And then for a lot of people, they get out of school and they go and do the thing that they thought they wanted to do and realize, I don't really like this. You know, so I think there should be a mechanism for doing that. So as an actor, I said that to say this, you should do some theater. Like you shouldn't expect to simply go on auditions just because you like it and say, hey, I want to be an actor, but you have to learn the craft, and you can't do that without taking classes or doing theater or something along those lines. And you might find out you don't even like it, or you like certain aspects and not others. You might be more inclined to do TV versus film, or film versus theater, and that kind of thing. Or maybe you just want to do commercial. Maybe you want to write documentaries, that kind of thing. You won't know that until you dip your feet in the water and kind of experience it for yourself, and you know, kind of take it from there.
All right, that's some good advice. Now, one of my favorite questions to ask everyone that comes on the show, I have two that are my favorites. The first one of my favorites. What are your favorite organizing products or productivity tools? It could be to help in the industry that you're in the acting industry and the entertainment industry. Do you have any favorite tools or products?
Yeah, my computer. It's a lifesaver, you know, because I actually grew up when there weren't any. You know what I mean? So if you had to write something, you had to either type it or you had to write it short form. And so now there are all these tools, for example, screenwriting tools that I can use that are online, that are free or low cost. And so when I write something, I can organize it every single day. I can do a revision and still have the prior week's revision. I can look at it on my phone, on my computer, or actually do it from a web browser. So the screenwriting stuff is huge for me. You know, also in auditioning, like I was saying, I have a camera that I just use to do auditions. I have a room set up that I use to do auditions, and I can do that right from here. I can download it to my computer, I can edit it, and then I can send it off to where it needs to go. So the computer has been, you know, sort of invaluable for me. Around the house, I'm just, my fiance and I are both just neat by nature, you know what I mean? So almost everything's in its place. Although I think I saw something online of yours, and I go, ooh, that needs work. But I'm
Well, if you ever need
damn, I'm
any tips,
serious.
just let me know.
Yeah, girl is serious about this stuff. But you know, that's, it's amazing like how that is a gift in and of itself. you know, because a lot of people struggle with that. So I try to be real organized with that setting up different folders, particularly for my writing. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is in the finished phase, and this is in, well, this is my submission folder where I've done like what they call a treatment or a synopsis of the piece, and I have the script in there, and I have, you know, the PDF Notion, a version of the file and that kind of thing. And then I have like the raw file, which is actually the file that's from the software itself. So I try to do stuff like that. I don't know if I'm the most organized person, but I hate clutter. So for me, I just can't stand, I mean, literally bothers me psychologically and emotionally to see clutter. I don't know, you know, you don't ever have to pick up my underwear on the floor or anything like that. There's a hamper.
Yeah.
And they go in there.
You know, believe it or not, there are some people where they see the hamper and it still makes its way onto the floor.
Yeah,
so, but it's really developing those habits as well, right? You know,
yeah, exactly.
But it's like organization is helpful, like in all areas of our life, no matter where, what stage you are in life, no matter what industry you're in, like organizing Absolutely. Will just help you to be more productive. And
yeah.
And like you said, you know, for me also seeing clutter, that kind of does something to me too. So like, say I'm in a space, maybe I wasn't hired to organize it. Like if I'm at like my mom's house or something and I see a closet, I just start organizing it because I can't
Did
look
you
at
really?
It.
Really?
So anyway, enough about me. My other favorite question to ask people is, what is your greatest professional achievement?
Well, making a film is a huge deal, you know, because many don't get to the finish line, particularly in an independent film, because it just, particularly when I did it, because we were kind of on the cusp of the digital revolution, but not quite there yet. There was some products that were coming online that made it digital, but prior to that, you had to shoot on film, and it was just cost prohibitive for almost anyone who didn't have really deep pockets to even begin to cross that threshold. Now, because of the, you know, digital aspect of shooting film and computers, the cost of entry is just much lower than it used to be. So that allows you to get in a way that you couldn't before, but still getting it done and bringing all those pieces together was a huge achievement for us, you know, and for the team of people who did it. So that's, you know, that's near and dear to my heart. And then playing, I think, Malcolm X in a play called The Meeting was like, every night I got to do that, I just felt blessed, you know, because the play was about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X having this clandestine meeting in a hotel. And in the play, it takes place the night that Malcolm X's home is firebombed, and the day before he's going to be assassinated at the Autobahn.
Wow.
So he and Martin are trying to come to some consensus, if you will, on the path ahead, because both know they're going to die. They both knew they were going to die. And so the play is a kind of tug of war between those two. And what's so satisfying about it is it starts out with these two iconic figures being diametrically opposed to the tactics of the other. And by the end of the play, they realize they have far more in common than either thought. And they come together to realize that, you know, we can have different ways of getting there, but as long as we're trying to get to the same destination, it's all good. But my greatest, I hope, is still in front of me, you know.
I'm sure it is, especially with you shopping around your pilot.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it.
So, Vince, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed this conversation. Can you tell people how they can find out more information about you or where they can see some of your work?
film we made is called For Love of Amy, and it's on, I think you can get it on Amazon or iTunes or one of those platforms still, even though it came out, man, almost 12 years ago now. So, but hopefully you'll see some of my work on one of these streaming platforms soon. So we'll see.
All right, we'll be looking out for it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you again.
Of course. You know,
and yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again after the Oscars. We'll
invite me to the party.
Yeah. You get the exclusive.
Thank you all for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time for an all new episode.